Would you turn your Bible to the book of Galatians, chapter 1? We'll start at the first verse of chapter 1. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. I'm glad that we can stand before the church and read the scripture. We all be much in prayer for us and for the ones bringing the message this morning and the ones bringing the afternoon message. We need the prayers of one another this morning, and we need to encourage everyone as much as we can. And you know, it's a time of discouragement for a lot of people, but we know this, that we know the Savior. Mm-hmm. You that are saved, and we can lean back on that and say, well, all is well.
Amen.
So this morning in the book of Galatians chapter 1, we want to talk to you a little bit about Paul here and some of the things that it says about him in the Bible. And it strictly identifies him as an apostle, even though he didn't have the calling, and he didn't see or he like the other apostles did, but he had a special calling, and he's seen through the Spirit, and we'll see about that in just a few minutes. But this is what I would like to talk to you a little bit this morning about and read to you about. And so in verse 1 of the book of Galatians, Paul, an apostle, and of course we see here that he is an apostle, not of men.
Amen.
And that's a great thing that he can say. That that encourages him, and I know it encouraged a lot of the times that he was beaten, a lot of times that he was mistreated and all this, because he had a personal calling, more so, and he was an apostle called out of time. And so he says here, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the God, the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you, and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from the present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father.
Amen.
To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And Paul is writing this letter to the church of Galatia, and he is exalting the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is telling these people that they need to praise the Lord and realize that He is the Savior. And so he said here in verse 2, all the brethren which are with me, and which was Timothy and some of the others, but they send the same message as Paul sent, that the grace of God be with you. And this morning, that's what we need to, as we fellowship and as we study together and as we listen to the gospel together, we need to think about the grace that the Lord Jesus Christ has bestowed upon us and given us this opportunity to know Him and the forgiveness of sin, because it's all about the forgiveness of sin.
You're right.
This morning we can do without bread, and we can do without water, and we can do without a lot of things, but listen, the grace of God is something that we all need, and the salvation of God and Christ, we have to have this in order to escape the punishments that are set before those that don't realize their need of Christ. So he said here, and all the brethren, in verse 2, which are with me unto the church of Galatia, grace be to you, and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no other comment or no other line of words that I can imagine this morning that would be more encouraging to a church and more pleasing to the Lord, and that as we try to serve Him, it says, grace be to you. And grace be to you, and peace be to you.
Amen.
And he says here, from our Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the only place this morning that in God's Word that we can get the peace and the comfort and the knowledge that we need and the understanding that we need and the remembrance of God's Word that we need. This is where it comes from, and through the Holy Spirit. And so this morning, as we think upon these things, this should be part of our prayer to the Lord, is that we would have a greater understanding and a greater mercy and all of this to continually to uphold us and help us as we live in this life that's full of heartaches and trouble. Because listen, they're there.
Right.
And the devil has got he's got a great army fighting against us. He's got a great hold on this world, and he wants us to love the world and not the Father. So this is what this is talking about when they said, grace be unto you. Now in verse 4, it tells about Jesus and what he did for us. And Paul is always assured all the churches that he wrote to these things. Here he says, who gave himself, talking about Jesus, for our sins, that he might deliver us from the present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. And this morning it was the will of God for Jesus Christ to come to this world and to die on a cross of Calvary for our sins. It was God's will that Paul would be called into the ministry, that he would have a great calling, that he would be one of the stronger apostles, and that he would write so much of this down that we could hear about it and understand it and realize what had happened back in the day. So he said here, and he's talking to this church, and he's wanting to encourage them. And the church, you know, the church always needs encouragement.
You're right.
But he said here in verse 6, I marvel that you're so soon removed, or that you forgot about Christ and what he did for you. And I want to show you something here. He says in verse 6, he says, ye are so soon removed, can be translated, you are so quickly deserting. The Galatians are in the initial stage of defecting from the God to another gospel.
Right.
And that's just this other gospel that he's talking about. You can read over in the book of Acts and 15, I believe it is, or 12 in our, and he said there was a man come down telling the church that they had to be circumcised. But whoa, the devil wanted them to go back and start using the law again, and the law had been fulfilled, and so, but they would have been just as wrong as they could be by using the law and using the things of the law for salvation, because they couldn't keep it.
Right.
And Jesus Christ offered this sacrifice for them, that they could turn to him and repent and wouldn't have to worry about keeping this law. So Paul says, I marvel, I'm amazed, I'm disappointed, if you would, that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel.
Right.
That's what this other gospel was, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
And so in the book, in Acts 15, it tells about this man coming down, and then it's all about circumcision and all this. And so he said here, in verse 7, which is another, but there be some that trouble you. And this morning, there be some this morning that will trouble you in the days to come in your life. They'll be trying to put worldly love on you and in your hearts. And they'll tell you, no, this time of, and listen, people, you can say, well, I've heard that and heard that and heard that. But listen, It don't make it no less.
Amen.
It don't make it no less. It's out there, and it's just like briars in a blackberry patch. You're going to get stuck if you get in there.
Amen.
And so the word, the world has got nothing to offer you this morning, but the thing of it is, the devil hoodwinks, he blinds so many people, and they cannot understand what this means here this morning about Paul being so amazed and marveling about this, and that they would change to another belief. But he says, we're in the chapter 1 of Galatians, verse 7, which is not another, but there could be some that trouble you and would pervert in the gospel of Christ. In verse 8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And
right.
in the notes here, they make a statement. They say it's not who preaches it, but what they preach.
Amen.
And listen, this morning, if it's not Jesus Christ and Him crucified for the redemption of our souls, and if it's something that's to do with the world and all this, listen, it's going to be a curse to you if you fool with it. And the world has got it there. And so He said here in verse 8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you that we have preached. And I'm assuming when he said an angel from heaven was one of the creative beings that the Lord did not fall from heaven, because he wants us to know this morning that there's no greater. There's no greater word, and no and any time that you get something besides Jesus Christ and Him crucified, listen, it's a curse to you.
Yeah.
And so He said here in verse 9, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that we have received, let him be accursed.
Amen.
Let him be accursed. And listen, people, there's some slick tongues. Excuse me. There's some slick tongues out there.
Amen.
And they will put some of this stuff out to you in a roundabout way. And if it ain't through preaching, it's through music and all. And they get the people in the uproar in this music and stuff, and they get them to follow them with that music. And listen, they don't. The people don't understand what's going on. But he said, let him be accursed to you. Now, in verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ.
Right.
And this is for all those that are in this Paul, in Paul's position, or is preaching the word, or is teaching the word, or anything that being a witness for Christ. Listen, if you're doing it to make them smile and to agree with you and all this, and people, they'll agree with you if you go morally,
right.
They'll
right.
agree with you. And so he says here that you don't do it because he says, I should not be a servant of Christ. And that's what Paul is saying. If I do these things, then I shouldn't be a servant of Christ. And so we can sometimes in our daily walk and all of this, we have an opportunity to witness to people. And sometimes, you know, the devil will come around and say, well, just kind of ease into it and say something like he likes, and then you can get it. Get across to him later. But listen, that later won't work.
Amen.
Because listen, that man might be in the casket in the next day or so, and you lost your opportunity.
Amen.
And again, you're missing a great reward when you use these worldly things to try to have someone come to the altar and say they're saved. Because listen, That's a curse to you, because
Amen.
You know it's not right for you to do these things, and if God has not spoken to you, I'm sure that He will speak to you, and He'll let you know what's going on in your life. So here He says in verse 11 now, Paul's ministry of the true gospel. In verse 11 He says, "But I certify or make known you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man."
Amen.
"For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation or the revealing of Jesus Christ."
Amen.
And so this, if you got, you know, if we have any desire whatsoever to be a help to these people that are sinners yet, we need to remember this thing here, because Paul, he said, here in this, that he says he was revealed by Jesus Christ of the things that he needed to understand and know. And in this thing too, you know, Paul didn't have everything that he wanted when Jesus asked him when he was called.
Right.
I'll put it that way. But listen, but he said it in verse 13, "For ye have heard of my conversation in my in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it."
Right.
And so Paul knew what he was talking about from his things that happened to him, his experiences before Christ and God called him or talked to him. And so he understands it more so than the other apostles that Christ called. And he wants to warn all of us this morning that in verse 13, this is what he needs for us to hear. "For ye have heard of my conversation in time past, how that he lambasted the churches, how that he captured some of them, how he drove them off and beat them and killed them even." And so he says, in time past, the Jews' religion, "how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God." How unmerciful was he that he persecuted these people, and that people would make no effort to protect themselves, and they just beat them and carried them and dragged them off to jail. And that's where he was headed when the Lord talked to him. And so he says here, "and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals." In other words, he's bragging on himself worldly. He was a very intelligent, smart man, because he sat under Emmaus as a teacher. And so he was well versed on the law. He was well versed on all of these things, but he wasn't real well reversed on the for grace and salvation. And so here he said here, and profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the transition of my fathers. But when it pleased God, He separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace."
Amen.
So this is how that Paul is explaining to them what happened to him. And then he says in verse 16, "to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathens, immediately I confirm not with flesh and blood." Now here's what he did.
Amen.
"Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me." And so Paul, as soon as he had this experience with the Lord, did not run to any of them and find them and tell them what happened. But what he did do was this. In verse 18, "then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Now, it wasn't It was for a fellowship. I'm assuming, and that he went to see Peter, and he said, and he stayed with him 15 days. But other of the apostles, I saw none save James, and the brother of the Lord's brother. Now the thing which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judah which were in Christ. And so he's saying, hey, I stayed out there in the wilderness. I stayed in another place because he come from the wilderness, and he didn't stay around the apostles, and he didn't brag on what the Lord had done for him, but he went to the wilderness, he prayed, and he served the Lord out there in the wilderness, I believe, for 3 years. Then he went to Peter, and he just stayed for a few days, and so there wasn't no bragging about Paul, because Paul had done understand what he had done prior to his calling by the Lord, and he knew that he was wrong, and so he did not want to boast himself of anything. And so
Amen.
He said here in verse 22, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judah which were in Christ, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in time past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me.
Amen.
Now, I want us to turn to 1 Corinthians, if you would, with me just a little bit. 1 Corinthians 9:1. I want to read something to you. 1 Corinthians. Paul speaking to the church of Corinth. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord?
Amen.
These are credentials that he presented to the church and to all the churches. And if you take a study in a lot of the books that he wrote, the first thing he does is identifies himself as the apostle of Christ. And he says here, are not ye my work and Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of my apostleship are in the Lord. My answer to them that do examine me is this. Have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister or wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord of Cephas, Barnabas have not the power or the right to forbear working.
Mm-hmm.
So he said here, who goeth to warfare any time in his own charge, planteth a vineyard and eateth not the fruit thereof. Now I want to read one more scripture to you over in the 1 Corinthians 15:9. This identifies the authority of Paul in verse, listen to these. We'll read just a little bit more than that. Let's start in verse 3. Verse of chapter 15. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture.
Amen.
That he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom
Amen.
The greatest part remain unto the present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me,
Amen.
Also as one born out of due time. So he was set aside, Jesus had already died, and then God called me and why didn't he persecute me, Paul? And he knew Paul was a very he was his special apostle, and he said here in verse 9, "For I am the least of all the apostles that am not meant to be or not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." But here's our wonderful thing that we should hang on to. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am."
Amen.
"And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all."
Amen.
"Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." And you know, people say here, Paul was bragging on himself, but he stirred it up. He says, "Not I, but the grace of God which was with me."
Amen.
"Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach and so ye believe." Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? And so here he wrote this because they were saying there was no resurrection. That's it. But anyway, that was what Paul was writing the letter to the church of Corinth too. So this is our lesson this morning, and some of the reading. I hope that you look at it again and try to get another blessing out of it. I hope you got a blessing out of this morning, because I did in trying to study it, and I thank you for listening to it, and I thank you for praying for me, and I ask you to continue praying for me.
Amen.